Praise the Lord. All right. Good evening, everybody. It's good to be in the house of God tonight for our online Bible study. I'm excited about being here with you all tonight. I'm excited about everybody that's here helping us, Sister Jasmine, Sister Lori. And we're going to go ahead and see if we can get started tonight. We got two prayer requests. We had them yesterday. We did them at the end of our prayer service. But we're also going to go ahead and pray again for these individuals. Slory's cousin passed away, Louis Grimion. We want to pray for their family. And Karen O'Brien is sick with COVID in the ER room. I'm assuming by now there may be a little change in that, but definitely we want to pray concerning these individuals. So let's go ahead and see if we could pray tonight concerning our Bible study and these requests we have. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you again for the opportunity just to come into your house. We thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the anointing of your spirit. We pray tonight and ask in Jesus' name that the words of our mouth, the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in your sight. And Father, right now we pray for Karen O'Brien right now. We pray, Father God, because we know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works through us. We touch and agree even now concerning her, Father, and her healing. We pray that you would heal her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray for the family of Louis Grimion. We ask, Father, that you would grant to them peace during this time. Father, we don't always understand exactly how things manifest, but we do know one thing, that the Bible says that you are good and that all things work together for good. We pray and ask in Jesus' name that you would comfort this family through this time of mourning that they are going through. We ask all of this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to see if we can go ahead and proceed with our Bible study tonight. Remember, we've been doing a message called Imaginations, and that message came on the end of, if you will, or was next after the message that we've been doing dealing with strongholds. And if you remember, that came out of the book of 2 Corinthians, where Paul was talking about how we walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. And then he began to talk about how what we do during this warfare and what we're capable of accomplishing. And we said then that we pull down strongholds and cast down imaginations. Well, we dealt with strongholds. We did a message on that. And then we moved into imaginations to start talking about how that works. And our first message, we dealt with that. And then we moved into our second message, which was Sunday, where we began then to talk about a little bit deeper this concept of imagination. And we used some verses from Jeremiah chapter 18. And we're going to look at those briefly, Jeremiah 18. And I really want to focus on verse 12 tonight. We'll look at Jeremiah 18. We're going to go, though, to verse 12. The Lord said this, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." Now, what had happened was that Jeremiah had spoke to the people and told them that God said and wanted them to see him as comparing himself to a potter. And he told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house and to look at how the potter would make a particular vessel. And he said that as the potter was making the vessel was marred in his hand, and basically the potter basically remade the vessel. He smashed it and remade it. And God then began to speak to them, and he said, this is what happens. This is how it works, okay? He said that when I speak about doing good toward a nation, I do that good, and that's how it works. On the other hand, he says, if I make up my mind and pronounce to pull a nation down, if they will repent from what they're doing, I will, in fact, repent from what I said I would do. But if they don't, God says that I'm going to destroy them. He said then that he told them to tell the men of Judah to change their ways. And God said that if you would do that, I then will come in and fix things and get it right. But the Bible says that instead of that, what they did was made a determination that, well, they said there is no hope, you know, it's an idea that, well, God's not really in it. And I said, when you look at that, that's kind of how the world functions. You know, you look at the United States, I said, and we have all of this different stuff going on, the floods and all the different things that are happening. Yet you still have people refusing to acknowledge that God even exist. Okay, I mean, in their minds, it doesn't. God has nothing to do with any of this. Praying is not going to change any of this. It's climate change. It's something else. Whatever it is, God is not going to be the one to assist us in taking care of it. And so what ends up happening, he says, that they say there's no hope, but we'll walk after our own devices the way we think we should do it, and we will, everyone, do the imagination of his evil heart. All right, now then I took you to the book of Genesis, and we looked in two places in Genesis where we looked the first lesson. We looked in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, and there is where we saw before God destroyed the earth, he said, he made a statement concerning what was going on with man. Let me get to Genesis chapter 6, and we look at verse 5 and through 6, this is what he says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So we saw then there what God said about man and what was going on in his heart. Then in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 and 22, after Noah gets off of the ark, this is what the Lord, what we see happening. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest time, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So we see here then that God tells Noah that, look, I'm no longer ever again am I going to curse the earth because of man. The bottom line is that his heart is continually on evil from his youth. Now, this goes to tie back into what we said when we're talking about purpose and that stronghold that can come in where people will say that, well, you know, from the time you were a baby, God had a purpose for you. When the Bible says that we were born into the world without God, so God couldn't have had a purpose for you. You're born in the world without God. And the reality is that when we come to God, then the Bible says if we would renew our minds, we're told that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that if we would renew our minds, God then would be able to help us to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our lives. And then and only then are we able to do that after we come to God. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 29, we looked at some other scriptures, Deuteronomy 29. Let's get over there. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 16 through 20, we see Moses speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, again, let me tell you how this process works, he says. He says, now, God has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and now he's going to bring you into certain land, and you're going to see certain things. You're going to see certain activities that people are doing, certain ways that they live, and all kind of stuff. And then he tells them this, beginning at verse 16. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which ye passed by. And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it come to pass when he hears the words of this curse that he bless himself in his heart saying, I shall have peace though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Now, I want you to stop for a minute, and I want you to think about something. I didn't use these verses on Sunday. I wanted to tie them in a little deeper today. Now, think about what you just read. God says that he told the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt, he says, now, I'm going to bring you guys through all these different lands, and you're going to see people doing things and involved in practices and stuff that it's demons. You don't want to get involved in that. You don't want to get involved in this idol worship, following after gold and silver and all these things of the world. He says, I'm going to need you to focus. He says, because what's going to happen is if you're not careful, it's going to grab your heart. And when it grabs your heart, you're going to turn and go after these things. But God said, I need you to understand how what's going to happen. He says, but then what will come to pass is then you're going to hear the words of the curse. In other words, they're right here. And he says, instead of you believing this, you're going to try to bless yourself. So he says, you're going to bless yourself and say, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart. And God says, I'm going to smoke you. Okay? Now, you need to understand this. Now, let me go. I want to go to Romans. This is a good place to plug this in right now. Romans chapter 1. And I want you to look at something in Romans chapter 1. I mean, the Bible is so, it just flows all together. Romans chapter 1. I want you to look at something here. Romans chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 21. Let me get over there. 21 through 25. Now, remember what we just said. God says you're going to look after the imaginations of your own heart. And even after you hear the curse, you're going to bless yourself and say, I'm going to have peace. And I'm going to walk in the imagination of my own heart. And God says, I'm going to smoke you. Okay? All right, now. And I'm going to blot your name out. Okay, watch this. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now stop right there. I want to stop there just to tie this back in. What happens is they profess themselves to be wise. Instead of being thankful, realizing what God has done, they become fools. And what do? They bless themselves and say, I know what you're saying, but I'm going to have peace and I'm going to walk in my own imagination and be blessed. God said, I'm going to smoke you. Watch. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, I didn't go on further, but the Bible explains to you everything that's going on in front of your face right now. It says next, and I'm not going to, they didn't put that scripture up, I'll just read it to you. It says, for this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use, men with men and all of that. And it goes on to talk about all this stuff. And then it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of getting smoked. It doesn't say that. It says death. But that's what God was talking about over here. And folks, the thing is that what we want to understand is God is not changed. See, people keep thinking, you know, Jesus, the Old Testament, and they read stuff and they don't make the connections. We want to understand this stuff like people are telling us, like when they were talking about using generators. I still do not understand why people keep dying in their house from carbon monoxide poison. They tell you over and over and over, do not use it in your house. Keep it away from your home. Get you some carbon monoxide detectors because you can't smell carbon monoxide. Yet still, every time there's a hurricane or something, there's several deaths of people dying from carbon monoxide. Why? When the instructions are clear. Let me tell you something that a little research I was doing on cognition, which is really about the science of just people thinking, okay, how we think. Now, this is why this is important. As humans, we all are designed by God the same way. We have eyes and ears and nose, and we have certain senses, and we're designed that. That's the way the human body is designed. So there's some things that we discover about the human body, yet we still don't understand their significance because we don't understand what the Word of God has to say about them. And because we don't, then what ends up happening is we put ourselves under a curse when God doesn't want us cursed. Even believers can do this to themselves and get themselves into stuff that's not any good. This is why you hear a lot of Christians who are in agreement with things that the Bible is clear is sin. I mean, it says it's sin. But the Bible says there's going to come a point where people will call good evil and evil good. So at least what should begin to happen is that you shouldn't be surprised or shocked or somehow dismayed by it all. You may be a lot like Lot was. The Bible says he was vexed every day with some of these things that were going on, but there's not anything you can do about it but continue to pray and always recognize that it's not right. Now, one of the things that I want to talk to you about when the issue of cognition and some stuff that I've done some little research on cognition is just about thinking, how you think. And the Bible talks all the time about think. All right, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ. Renew your mind. Constantly talking about your thoughts. Take no thought for tomorrow. Your imagination, God spends a lot of time talking about it. From best that they can tell, all of the cognitive research indicates this. Images and metaphors and stories are the basis of how your mental operating system works. You know, so in other words, you have a computer and you have Windows on it. You have Windows 7, 8, 9, 10, and that makes the computer work, okay? It's the operating system. And then what you do is you buy software for stuff that you want. You may buy math software. Some people just want to play games. There are other stuff that you can do. But without the operating system, you can't get the software to function properly. It won't work. Okay. The software that we're really dealing with most of the time is really what's coming to us through the Word of God. As God tries to program us with the Word, if our operating system is off, though, then it's never going to work right. This is why people can take the Bible, read it, and still tell you stuff that is obvious sin and somehow still come back with the fact that God is okay with it. Now, we got to understand this, because if you're doing it, then it can be a damaging in your life. That's why you got to be able to cast down these imaginations. Now, what we see in Romans is God helping us to make the connection with what we talked about with purpose. Remember, we said not purpose with strongholds. Remember, we said one of the strongholds that come up against people is truth. In other words, they change the truth of God into a lie. In other words, Jesus does not become the center of truth and absolute truth flow from that. So strongholds kick in where they believe all kind of lies and call them truth. My truth is your truth. I live my authentic self and all that we're talking about. And the Bible tells us here in Romans why this happens. The Bible says they change the truth of God into a lie. We see that in Romans 1 verse 25. See there where it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. So what you have there is you basically have the stronghold, if you will, of false truth or lies being created by vain imagination. All right. So let's go back up. Let's look at verse 21. Now, if you want to stay out of vain imagination, let's look and see what it says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So we see here a couple things. One, what? You gotta glorify him as God, be thankful about him as God and what he's doing. Because if not, you will become vain or empty or evil in your imagination. And when that happens, your heart becomes darkened. That's why Jesus said, if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness, right? Now listen to this. Watch this. I told you on Sunday, I said that imagination is like the hinge on the door, okay, between, say, your perception and your understanding, okay? Now watch this. This will help you. Now, I told Sister Lori, I said, sometimes I wonder if people really pay attention to me. Sometimes it may sound a little deep, but it's not as deep as it seems. If people will slow down and go back and go over this again, it'll help you. Now, think about this. Your perception is how you receive a thing, either through your ears, your eyes, your smell, any of your senses, your touch. That's perception. Between your perception and your understanding is your imagination. Okay? Now, depending on if your imagination is not purified and cast down and put properly, not vain, you can never walk correctly before God, because your perception will always give you bad understanding if it flows through an evil imagination. What do I mean? Prime example. Let's say my wife says something to me, and let's say I heard what she said, and I have a certain perception of what she said. My understanding of what she said will be dictated by what's going on in my imagination. You ever heard somebody say, that's in your mind? I wasn't even thinking that. Do you see? Because your imagination has been shaped, and what they've learned in cognitive thinking is that the operating system gives the origin of your intuitions and your irrationality. In other words, all the stuff that you've gone through, all the stuff you've been told, all the stuff you've heard has given you an operating system that basically, when a perception comes to it, it functions a certain way, bringing out an understanding over here that ain't right. Now, that's your reality. This is why people can say, look, that's my truth. This is my truth, and that's your truth. Right, but your operating system is busted. And if your operating system is busted and it's wrong, then you're never going to get the right understanding out of it. Now, this is something that they said interesting about your imagination and thinking and stuff like that, is that more accurate information and insight doesn't come from increasing information or reasoning, but you have to educate your imagination. Now, let me break it down. In other words, it don't matter how much I tell you, that's not what I meant. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what was intended. That's not this. It doesn't matter. I could give you all the information I want. It doesn't, they have proven this now through scientific tests, it doesn't change your understanding. It's not until I can get your operating system changed. You know how there's some computer programs you'll find, like we have some here at the church, it says you have to have Windows 10 now. So all of Windows 7 and 8 was a great operating system. They don't work with this new software. And what you have to understand is when you're born again, your old operating system does not work with God's software. So you can't walk in there. That's why the Bible says renew your mind. And part of that, what's going on with that mind, is your imagination, how you see things, how you imagine them. How do you perceive them when they come at you, instead of doing it the way God says do it? What we end up doing is we keep our same old perceptions, which continues to give us the same crazy understandings, even though what? We're saved. And so we have then our imagination. This is why it's so important to understand what I'm saying, because this can change and revolutionize our lives if we understood it. So now I'm saying, God, hold up, help me to understand something. Why do I imagine things the way I imagine them? In other words, instead of seeing imagination as what you think, see it more as how you think. How you think when you hear a story. What goes through your mind when you hear a certain thing? Some people, because of the way they were raised, et cetera, or whatever else has influenced them, when they hear it, this is what they see. Therefore, that's what they understand. This is what stereotypes are about. So you could see a group of people coming at you, and already you are fearful because of what you perceive based on your imagination, which has been given to you over time, which then gives you your understanding that you need to clutch your purse, put your hand on your wallet. Why? Because those people do this and these people do that. When the reality is that may not even gonna occur, but this is what is in our imagination. Now, why is it important? Because you got to start seeing this like when they teach you how to fly an airplane. My brother is a pilot, and I've only had this experience in terms of him telling me about it and some things that I've read. And that is that you have to learn, they say, and they won't let you fly at night. until you learn how to do something they call flying by your instruments. Flying by your instruments. Now, what does that mean? It means then that because if you get caught in a cloud, you lose all perception. You don't really, your orientation and your perceivers go crazy. All of a sudden, up feels down, down feels up, and you don't really know what you're doing, so you have to fly by your instruments. In other words, you look at the instruments, and if the instruments say you're going up, it doesn't matter how much it seems that you're going down, keep doing what you're doing. If you're trying to raise the airplane up and the instruments say you're going up, it doesn't matter that it feels like you're going down. Because your feelings and your thoughts and your perceptions get disoriented in those clouds and stuff, right? Because if you think you're going up when really you're going down, you do see how you're going to crash, right? Because what? I'm okay, all I got to do is get a little higher, and all of a sudden, bam, you hit the ground because you thought you were going up when in fact you were going down. Now, how does that relate to what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you got that. You don't see the world the way it is, but you see it how your imaginations are. So if Satan can keep working on our imaginations, we reimagine the world. I saw something the other day in the World Economic Forum where they were talking about how this pandemic gives us an opportunity to reimagine the world. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, let me just make it clear to you how the world started. Remember, God put Adam and Eve in the garden, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. He created them male and female, and he said, go do what they do, right? But we can reimagine the world. It doesn't have to be what we're saying it is or what it was. We can reimagine it. Well, how do you do that? By changing the way you perceive it. But folks, think about it. I know today, sometime when I'm watching TV, that's why I don't even watch the news too much. I just try to catch up with stuff and keep going. You feel like you're going down when you think you're going up. And all you got to do is switch between two news channels and you'll hear one group saying that something that's going on is the worst thing that ever happened in the world. You flip to another channel and they're telling you it's the best thing that ever happened in the world. And you're in the middle going, I don't think that's even what happened. But everyone is doing whatever. And the question is, what works so that you don't crash? Only thing becomes the word of God. Now, but the word of God through what? Through God's instrumentality. See, in other words, how can people take the word of God, read it, and still come back and tell you it's okay to have abortions or it's okay to do some of these other things? How could they come out with that? Because somewhere their instrumentality is off. You have to realize that you cannot take the word of God and make it what you want it to be. So in other words, when God says back here, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, and let's look more closely at this. See, this is why many times when people will say, well, you can't say what God's going to do. You've never seen God, and who are you to be saying God? Well, I'm just giving you what God said. That's how we do it. God said he magnifies his word above his name. This is not about what I think about it. It's what, just read the plain Bible. Okay, let's go back and read Deuteronomy 29. Let's look at Deuteronomy 29, beginning at verse 16. For you know how we dwelt in the land of Egypt and how we came through the nations which he passed by. Okay, stay on that scripture for a minute. Let's look at this, y'all. What he says is, you know, he's saying to you, you know, how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt. Now, applying this to the Christian, you all know what it was like before you knew God. You know what it was like. In the club or wherever y'all was, you know what it was like, okay? And how we came through the nations which we passed by. God brought you out of the club, of the crazy life, of the fornicating, of the this, of the that, and all that stuff that was going on out there. He brought you through that, okay? Now, next verse. And you have seen their abominations. Now, we all been there. The Bible says that. We all have been there. We, all of us, were one of them. Okay? He says, you've seen the abominations and the idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which is among them. Now, we're not out there, what, worshiping golden calves, but we might as well be with some of the things that we put our emphasis on, with the money and the jewels and the cars and the this and the that. He says, you've seen it. You know what it's about. Next verse. lest there should be among you. Now he's talking to us now. He's talking about the people of God now. Lest there be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve those gods and those nations. Lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. What he's talking about is a root on the inside of any of us that pops up with the wrong thing in it. In other words, God said, y'all seen the nastiness, you know the abominations, you know the idols, you know all that. So don't play. Let's not play. All right, next verse. Next verse. And it come to pass when he hears the words of this curse. Okay, you hear the words of God's book that you say in to yourself in your own heart, I shall have peace. Though I walk in the imagination of my own heart. In other words, it don't matter that God said if you do this, he gonna curse you. That don't matter because I'm gonna do it anyway and I'm gonna be blessed and I'm gonna have peace. Yeah, because what? That's what I believe. To add drunkenness to thirst, next verse, look what he says. And it come to pass, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Okay. So this is why people, you know, are like, I don't believe God gonna, you know, you gotta be able to just do what you want, and I just don't believe that, and I thank God is this way, and I thank Jesus this. Now, I didn't give Sister Lori these verses, but I want to go to Galatians chapter 6, because it came in my mind as I'm talking to you about this. Galatians chapter 6, I want to read something to you. This is what it says. In verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Okay, there it is. Oh, now we're in the New Testament. God says, look, I want you to understand something, y'all. Don't play with me. Don't be deceived. I'm not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap it. Okay? Now I need you to understand that. Don't let anybody play you in church or anywhere else and get inside your little imagination and having you thinking that, oh, no, God is just so full of grace that he ain't going to smoke you. Look, if God smoked them in the Old Testament, he'll smoke you in the New based on what he's telling you. He did not deliver us to live in evil works. If any of you all have been following, which I'm sure you have, the reading we've been doing, I mean, we're about to finish up 1 John, and 2 and 3 John is like a blink, and there's nothing left but Jude. And you must confess to yourself from the reading of beginning to the end with Paul in Romans all the way to where we are now, you've heard nothing that would encourage you to believe that it's okay that after you came through Egypt out of abomination and sin and idol worship and everything else, that somehow it's okay to turn. And when you see this stuff in here, say, it's all right. I'm going to have peace and be blessed. When God says he's going to smoke folk when they don't understand that. Jesus came to deliver us from the power of sin. Okay. So in other words, when we read that, we need to understand the power that works in us. Well, that power that's working in us is not just for the fact for us to get things of the world. I mean, God's not trying to take us back into what it was he took us out of. It's to give us the power and the ability to go free from the bondage that the devil has when he corrupts our imagination and makes it vain. And when he can get our imaginations vain, we begin to think and imagine things that there's no way that could be God. Okay? There's no way that I could come up with that somehow God would want me doing that thing. Okay? Here's a prime example. Let's go, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, this is what the Bible says. This I say then, beginning in verse 16, then I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now then it begins to tell us what the works of the flesh are. So now we see that when these things are coming to pass in our life on a consistent basis, because the book of John tells us, 1 John, that if we have the Spirit of God, we cannot sin. And now the Bible doesn't mean we don't commit sin, because in the verse prior to that, the chapter before that, he says, if any man commits sin, he says, I write unto you that you sin not, little children. But, and if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and not only for our sins, but for the whole world's sins. So we know then that what? If we ask Jesus to forgive us, he will. But at the same time, we recognize that what? God wants us to walk free from sin. We can't practice it because we've been born of God. That's what the Bible says. We cannot sin. We cannot practice a life of sin. It just doesn't work for us if you're born again. So the Bible then says what? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And then it begins to tell us what those look like. Okay, so imagine why, as I said, use the word imagine. Think about this. Why do you think there's some Christians who might very well believe that certain types of sexual sins are okay because God, it's different now than it was in the Old Testament, you know? So God doesn't say anything about a certain sexual sins being sin, so it should be okay, people say. Well, how could they get that? Because the Bible says if you refuse to keep God in your thinking, in your imagination, you got to see God. You got to see God. How would God? That's why the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of getting you on track and having your perceptions correct. So now, if I keep perceiving God in my mind, there's no way he can take me down a path different than what he said. Jesus said in the beginning, it was not so. God made them male and female, and then what? Blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. That's God's plan. That's how he did it. So now if I keep God in my mind and keep him there, I can't change that scheme of how it works. It won't work because I retain God in my knowledge. Therefore, my imagination can't become vain. But instead, it's like having a closed door that you can't get through if people don't recognize this and get delivered from it. This is why the Bible says that we basically are in a situation, and this is the whole idea of a stronghold. See, it's hard when there's a stronghold of truth there to do what? To break free the vain imagination, to cast it down, because I don't accept what you're saying. I don't believe that. I don't think that's correct. I don't believe that about. Let's say, for instance, you have a certain attitude about women. Okay, if you don't get that change, that perception, that attitude, that imagination change, you'll never be able to break free. Because that stronghold, that lie that's holding you won't even allow you to change your thought process, your imagination. Let me try to use another word. Think about it like this. If I came to you and kept saying, look, Windows, you need Windows 10. And you're like, I don't believe that. Your computer don't work though. And I'm telling you, you need Windows 10. You can't run that software with Windows 7. I don't believe that. Well, you can try all day long, keep running, and you can keep restarting your computer and doing everything, and you will never get past where you are. Some people keep wondering, why are they in the same place they were 3-4 years ago? Because they're running Windows 7. And they refuse when you try to tell them you need to upgrade. You need Windows 10. You need to change. You got to go up higher in the Word of God in order for you now to be able to move to the next place. Otherwise, you're not going to move. It just won't work. You can't make it work. You can't bless yourself. And no matter how hard you try, and this is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, when we start talking about communion, where God says, for this cause, many are weak, sick, and die early, because they won't judge themselves. See, even though David did some horrendous things, once it was brought to his attention, he immediately judged himself, and he didn't say that somehow he was right for doing what he did. He recognized he was wrong. It was bad. He was wrong. He acknowledged his wrong. He put it out as wrong. He asked God to forgive him, and he said, Lord, my sin is ever before me. He recognized his error. Therefore, by retaining God in his knowledge, his imagination never becomes vain, and because of that, his operating system keeps him going. So even when things are going, like when we're out here in society and things seem to be going down, okay, we know that that's not down. When things seem to be going up, we know that's not up. Okay, so in other words, when I'm out here and I look at all the stuff that's going on, oh, God, the world looks like it's going to heck in a handbasket. Oh, floods and oh, this and oh, that. Well, all I see is Psalm 46. Okay, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea, God says, there I am in the midst of it. Be still and know that I am God. So the reality is that's how we perceive stuff. It don't matter. It look like it's going down, down, down. We always on our way up. And even though the world may be saying all this stuff they're doing, ooh, that's pointing us up. We know that if it's pointing us in the direction of sin, that's taking us down. And how do we know it? Because we fly by our instrument panel and not by our feelings and our perceptions of things. That, oh, well, if it looks good, you know how people say that? That's the motto. If it feels good, do it, right? Feeling, a perception. If it feels good, do it. Yeah, that's not how we do this. And we've got to understand what is going on. Now, I want to point out something to you here, because I think it's really important to recognize this. I think it's true when you look at the Word of God that we don't tend to see the world the way it is, but we see the world the way our imaginations are. Okay, so I want you to think about this. That's why the world is so crazy right now, so much stuff is going on, because we see things according to the way we perceive and understand them through our own imagination. So people will say, well, that's reality. Well, to them it is, and that's what you have to understand. So if you're sitting there, this is why the Bible says, cast not your pearl before swine. You know, you're wasting your time. If they see what you're saying or perceive what you're saying, this is why it's difficult to tell people things like, you know, and we say it. I don't say this to anybody because they don't believe it. They don't see it that way. Well, you know, I don't have a problem with you, brother. I love the sinner. I hate the sin. I don't say that to anybody. You know why? Because then people don't believe that. And they don't perceive that's what you're saying. They see themselves as one with whatever it is that's going on with whatever's going on with them. You know, to tell them that, they can't understand that. It would be better to just leave that part of the conversation out. Because their perception of it is that you hate me. I know you're saying, I hate the sin and I love the sinner. I hear you. But the reality is they can't even separate that out like that. So you're wasting your time. This is why the Bible says in several places, if a person is a heretic after the first or two admonitions, just let it go. Because they can't see what's happening. This is why, let me see if I can get over here right quick. This is why Paul says that if our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And then let's look at what he says about it. Now, remember Jesus said what? The blind can't lead the blind. If they do, they both going to fall in the ditch, right? Well, listen what Paul tells us. This is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is what Paul says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded, here we go, the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach Christ, we not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves and your servants for Jesus' sake. So in other words, Paul says the problem is that the imagination, the mind is blinded, and the way it sees is through the vain thoughts that the Bible talks about in Romans. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, what has that got to do with anything going on with us? Okay. If you want to change how things are going in your life in a couple of areas, you know, I got some of my own, you know, in times and things that people I may interact with or whatever. You have to train and educate your imagination. Okay, now I know that may sound kind of strange, but the bottom line is, this is exactly what we're talking about in the book of Romans. Let's go back to Romans 12:2. This is what that actually means. And be not conformed to this world. It's talking about looking like the world through imagination. Remember what the Bible says, man's imagination is continually on evil all the time. God's like, look, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that whole mind, that word for mind, includes the imagination. So God is saying, look, I need you to reimagine yourself. Reimagine things. In other words, if you were raised in a situation where you're constantly dealing with authority figures that disappoint you, let's say, well, then you're going to always have a sense, you're going to always have a subtle sense that somehow God is not going to really come through for you. Okay? Now you got to understand this now, because the only people you know, if it's your mom, your dad, teachers, or somebody like that, anybody like that that's been an authority, has always not come through for you, then in a way, it's still hard for you to believe God's going to come through for you. You've never experienced that. Nobody else has done it. And even though we give God lip service about what we think about what he's willing to do, the reality is we don't believe it, because we have an imagination surrounding ourselves, the way we think about ourselves, what we deserve, what we don't deserve, what we ought to have, what we shouldn't have. And all of that then puts limitations on what God can do in your life. And then you put those limitations on the situations that you're involved in. Okay. So if, you know, you've been told you were dumb your whole life, you dumb. Well, then eventually that grabs hold of your operating system and your imagination. And so then you really can't imagine yourself doing anything that smart people do, because you're dumb. And even though you'll say, well, I'm not dumb, you say that, but those words don't change that operating system. It doesn't change the fact that that's how your imagination is physically, or should we say metaphysically, within you functioning. That's how it's grabbing hold of things. It doesn't matter what you're saying about it. The reality is that's what you're producing. And all you got to do is look around you. What you're producing should give you indication of what your imagination about yourself is, because you accept it, especially if you lay in it and accept it, okay, and begin to do it. And I'm amazed by some of the people that I've met who've come through this church. I mean, come through, and you would think that they would just get it, and then they would take off. But then you look up, and they're right back where they were when they first came. I mean, they get going, slide right back. Why? Because they have not broken free from that imagination of who they see themselves as based on where they came from. They're being conformed to the world. So God says, look, I need you to renew your mind. Now, this is what's interesting about this. Jesus said that he wanted us to become one with him and the Father, just like he was one with the Father. And he prayed that prayer. Now, Jesus always got his prayers answered. All right, so, you know, when I'm praying, I go back and I look at what Jesus prayed and I say, okay, Lord, I want to get the response that Jesus got. Okay, I want to be walking that prayer. You know, Jesus said, you know, hey, Father, I want them to be one. And we know he was talking to us. And we're going to go back because we want to stay. Remember, we always say we take things in context. I'm going to go to John chapter 17 where Jesus was praying this. This is what he said in one place. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I send them, and I'm going to sanctify myself. And then he says this in verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, talking about his disciples. He said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. So we believe on Jesus through their word, the apostles, what they wrote and everything. That's how we believe on him. So Jesus is praying a prayer for us. Now tell me what prayer Jesus never got answered. See, there was never a prayer that Jesus prayed that did not get answered. So if it doesn't get answered for you or for me, it's because we're not reimagining ourselves, changing our thought patterns so that we can receive from God. Now, people will say, well, but you can't just make stuff up. I'm not. And that's why I want you to watch this. So Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe. So we know then that we're talking about us. Then he says this. And the glory which thou gave me, I've given them, as they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I want them to be one like us. So the reality then is that what? We are one in Christ. And see, the world is all running around. Everybody want to be one with God, and everybody wants to connect and all this. And folks, what's so beautiful about what I'm trying to get you to understand is it's simple. It's not hard. It's not all of that. You know, nowhere did Jesus say, Father, I pray they would learn to use crystals. Father, I pray they would learn to burn incense. Father, I pray that they would learn to meditate themselves into oblivion so that what? The light can enter into them. Nothing strange like that. Nothing foreign. Nothing weird. We can just be who we are and believe. Jesus said, this is the work of God. Believe. Believe what? Believe the word. So Jesus is praying. Now Jesus Christ praying. So when I pray, I say, Lord, my prayer is that the prayer of Jesus would be answered in my life, that I might be one with you and your son. And when that happens, then that means there's come a point where God's going to then say, okay, now I'm going to need you to realize that then you've got to become one with your brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's what the Bible says. So you can't be running around, well, I don't like this one, I hate that one and all that. That doesn't work. God says that's not going to work. Now, how do we know? Let me see if I can get over here right quick. I'll show you. You say, well, Pastor, that's nice, but how do you know that God heard you when you prayed that? How do you know you're going to get that? All right, here we go. This is in 1 John chapter 5. And remember, the word is what we use as our instruments. So even though you may say, well, man, I don't feel like I'm one with God. You know, I met this Swami guy once, and he said that, you know, when you're one with God, you know, you'll feel the hair on the back of your neck stand up, or you'll feel this, or you'll sense that, or something that's going to make you know you're one with God. The Bible doesn't say that. So you say, so how do you know you're one with God? Let me tell you how I know. All right, watch this. Chapter 5 of 1 John, this is what it says. 1 John 5, and it says this, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, did you get that? If we ask anything according to his will, is it God's will that you be one with him? Well, hold on. Let's just make sure we clear. I do believe Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So Jesus' prayer to the Father, demonstrating Jesus' will to the Father. And Jesus never did anything outside the will of God, neither his own will, because his will lined up perfectly with the Father, was that we might be one with him and with the Father. That's the will. Okay, now over here the Bible tells us, John says, this is what you can know. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's why I pray that. Father, my prayer is, irrespective of what's happening in my life right now and what's going on, I'm trying my best to align myself correctly, but it is my desire that I might be one with you and Jesus. Yep. Now, it says, he heard me. But I don't feel like he heard me. I don't care what you feel. Remember what I told you? Fly by your instruments. Don't fly by your feelings. I feel like I'm going down. Don't matter. You're going up. The word says he heard you. Stick to the word. Don't get off the word. Don't let the devil get you off the word on your feelings. Oh, I don't feel like I'm one. Somebody else told me that they say that if you need to get some music in the room and really get quiet and empty your mind, and then God can speak to you. I don't need all that. Bottom line is the Bible tells me I am one with God. Period. Well, you don't look like one. I don't care what I look like. The word says I'm one with God. I know he heard me. And the Bible says that when he hears me, look at verse 15, and we know that he hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. All right. So Sister Laura, see if you can find that verse. 1 John 5, verse 15. We're going to put that up. I want y'all to see this on the screen, and I want you to think about something, and I'm going to tell you. You know, there's a difference, you see, between knowing something and actually doing something. This is why the Bible says that we need to be able to know the distinction, all right, to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. In other words, we hear the word, we hear it, but we're not doing it, right? So the Bible tells us, and if we know, he hears us, okay? You see that right there? If we know. Now, most people don't even know that, okay? They don't even know this. If we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have it. So what's the problem? Well, Pastor, I feel so lonely. Stop it. You're not lonely. You're not alone, and you're not by yourself. You are one with God in Christ. At least that's three. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit. That's four, y'all. I mean, you know, all together, one. You know, and why do you know that? Because you know it, because the Word says it. We have this confidence. We have done it. We've prayed according to his word. And if you seem to be all by yourself, you need to understand that you're not. Why? Because the word of God tells you that you're not. Okay? And this is how we have to renew our mind. See, just like you see how I'm going back and forth through the scriptures. I mean, I don't even have these written down. Going back and forth through the scriptures to give you a demonstration of how you have to align yourself with the truth, irrespective of what you see coming against you. People may say, nobody believes what you're saying. Not a word of what you're saying. No one believes what you're saying. You cannot allow your life to be dictated by likes and dislikes. Okay? You know, I was reading something the other day where they were talking about how so many people have been getting themselves in trouble, kids and everything else, trying to get likes on Facebook and likes on Instagram and likes on TikTok and likes on this. You know, they wake up to get a thumbs up. You know, see, that's why on our channel, if you notice, if you go on there, you likes and dislikes ain't even on. You can't see, because then you don't need to know nothing about whether somebody like or dislike what I had to say. You either listen to it or you don't. And in my mind, if you don't like it, what you're doing on the channel, just get off. It don't make any sense to come here to aggravate me. I don't need you giving me no thumbs down. I don't ever do that. When I go on people's channel, if I don't even like what they're saying, I don't do thumbs down. I mean, come on, man, get out of here with all that. Ain't nobody want to be driving all that. People, but what has happened is YouTube and other people have come to the point that they understand this is what's driving people. But folks, this is the same problem of being a people pleaser. How many people like what I had to say? Thumbs up. Good job, Pastor. Versus, we don't like that like Caesar, you know, that's right before they kill you, you know, thumbs down. And we have gotten into this in such a way that people don't have an independent personality. If they were to ask themselves the question, do you believe what you're saying? Do you really believe? Or is 95% of you chaff? You know, because what's coming out of your mouth is really what you think people want to hear and stuff that you think you got to say in order that what? You stay in people's good graces. Forget God now. It don't matter what God thinks. You know, you're just trying to stay in everybody's good graces. So what? You're 95% chaff. And it would be better if you went and fixed your imagination and let 95% of the chaff just burn off. And at least the 5% of you that's left, you know, is telling the truth. And it's real. You want to wake up with a real perception. You don't want to be in an airplane with play instruments. Okay, yeah, you don't want to be up there flying in a real plane. And life is real, y'all. See, what people don't understand is life is real. And life is involved and has a lot of pain and suffering in it that could be avoided if people would just reimagine and get their minds corrected as soon as they could. That's why the Bible says, raise up a child in the way they should go. And while they're young, and a lot of stuff they could avoid, but people don't do it. And the next thing you know, we all are going through all kind of crazy things, even those of us who are supposed to be Christians and raised in Christian homes. At the same time, though, we're more professors and confessors of the word and not doers of the word, to where when it's over, we're able to actually make a difference in our life so that the operating system functions like it's supposed to. Now, on Sunday, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be going into the next phase of this message. And that phase is then to say how to do what I'm talking about now. So we've talked about casting down imaginations. We've gone and we've proven to you, if you just listen to these two messages, we've proven to you that your imagination is critical, it's significant, and you must get it under control. Because if you don't, you will not be able to move to the next stop on your way to wherever it is you're going. You're going to have to fix that. And to the extent that you fix it will be the intent you'll be able to fly higher and higher with what it is you're going. And ultimately, be able to burn off of you whatever is really chaff. Because there's a lot of chaff, we said, in our perceptions. It's just wrong. You know, what we think about other people, what we think about what they're saying, what we think about what they're doing, and it's ruining our relationships. You can't even get past square A because you're so busy imagining that what was said, done, that means this, and now you're over here acting crazy and talking crazy when it was never intended. And you got to fix that, because if you don't, you can't move to the next place. So now that we've established that, I think the word has established it, we cannot go in our own imaginations and think God going to bless us, because he's not. He's going to smoke us, and you can't bless yourself. So the bottom line is we line up. We understand God is the potter. We're the clay. He'll keep knocking it down till he get what he wants. So we want to go ahead and give him what he wants. So then on Sunday, we're going to move into this next phase where we start talking about how to reshape it then. How do we do that? You know, what ways can we do to exercise ourselves to godliness so that our imaginations and our will bring in, when our perceptions bring them in, our imagination is correct in how it perceives it, so our understanding comes out on the other side the way it should, so that we get the things that we want and the things that God has for us. All right, well, I'm going to get ready to close, but don't forget, we want to make sure that we're continuing to pray for everybody out there. If you've got any prayer requests, get them in to us. You can either send them in online, if you did tonight, or you can also send them in through the contact page at the website. Just go to jclm.org or .com and go to the contact, and then just type in your request, send it to us, and we'll get back with you and respond to you. Don't forget our Sunday in-person service, 10 o'clock a.m. Sunday live stream start around 10:20 to 10:30. Our prayer service is on Wednesday. Try to get out here, folks, 6 to 8. It's a good time. You get a chance to pray as a corporate body. And then again, our online Bible study will continue at 7. Again, we will have in-person service this Sunday. Our prayers are with you. God bless you. As always, we love you. Y'all take care. We'll see you on Sunday.